In 1968, Richard Berger was in his 20s and in medical school in Philadelphia. It was his lifelong calling to help people, to be a doctor. But even though he was an honor student, medical school just wasn't what he thought it would be.
And what I found was a lot of authoritarian and rote memorization. And I went, this is so not what I envisioned. And it was kind of stunning because it's like, here I am with this dream of like what my life is going to be about. And it's like crashing into a concrete wall at 100 miles an hour.
Richard took a year off and went on a road trip across the country.
By the time I hit Wyoming, I see this dilapidated plywood sign that's sort of peeling apart and with dripping letters out of out of the Addams Family. And it says Rock Shop. And like, I'm a kid from New Jersey. So for me, it's like rocks are things you kick down the street when you're bored and you have nothing else to do. So I walked in there, and almost immediately I was struck by this tiny little piece. It was like maybe an inch high, sitting on a shelf. And it struck me as one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen. And I was absolutely stunned. And so while I thought that I was running away from my future by leaving medical school, I ran right into it.
Over the last 48 years, Richard Berger has crisscrossed the globe, hunting for rare and beautiful creations that come out of the ground, minerals, crystals, fossils. And the private collection he's pieced together is said to be one of the finest in the world, and he calls it masterpieces of the earth. These exotic formations, some that are so small they can fit in the palm of your hand and others that require a forklift, they're stored in a warehouse just outside of Seattle. Inside, it feels like a gallery.
The walls are black and the tables are black, and we have, you know, beautiful pin spots on all of the pieces. And in this room, which is one of the smaller chambers of the collection, are some of the rarest pieces of their kind in the world.
This looks like an egg embedded in a piece of granite. It looks like some sort of speckled pheasant egg.
In natural light, it's robin's head egg blue, and it's erupting out of a bullseye agate. So the way it was found in 1961, a woman was mining for agates in Montana. She drops it on the asphalt on the way back to her car in the parking lot. It cracks open. Here's this perfect egg sitting in the middle of a rock. So she gets it that this is not normal, right, and contacts the National Museum. And they had reviewed it, I think, all of their paleo and mineral people. And what they said in this letter was, the one thing we can tell you is that it's never been a fossil. Nature has managed to find a way to create the archetypal form of eggs independent of biological life.
It was never a fossilized egg.
It was never
egg.
A fossil.
Yeah.
It never had anything to do with biological life. So it's the only one that's ever been seen.
Right. How does that happen?
Isn't that the great question? Yeah, I mean, how does life happen? You know, there's some mathematical algorithm that's at work here that if you run it through a computer, you know, they will match to an egg. But if you look at any of these, they're incomprehensible. I mean, that's part of my criteria for acquiring them, that I would look at them, and if my hands didn't wind up on my temples, you know, going like, what? You know, they probably weren't part of the collection.
Just around the corner in the next room is a 7,000-pound enormous yellow crystal. And Richard says it's one of the most ancient giant crystals on planet Earth.
So as a reference point to age, which gets rough to grok, right, that this crystal has been fully formed on Earth for 250 million years before the first dinosaur appeared, right? And there was an astrophysicist that came in here who said, you know, it takes about 240 to 250 million years for the sun to travel entirely around the Milky Way. So to make one circumnavigation around the entire galaxy, that crystal has done this twice.
So where was this found?
This was found in Namibia, Southwest Africa, and they were mining basically for gemstones. That looks right out of something from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, if, you know, you go into the ancient temple and you open the secret door, and if you saw that, you'd be on your knees.
Now, this collection, it's worth millions of dollars. And Richard has recently had a few lucrative offers from buyers in China. But saying yes, that would interfere with his ultimate mission in life, which is to have someone buy the collection, but then keep it in Seattle, where Richard wants to build a museum so that everyone can see these things.
What we want to create is an immersion experience. So rather than going in and going, oh, that's nice, take a picture or two and you're gone, that you basically enter into it like you would if you went to a redwood forest, you know, or hung out by a waterfall, that it touches you, right? So you go into, let's say you walk into a room and there's like the 7,000 pound crystal, right? And there's a water element, maybe it's floating, in a, you know, above like a pond, right? And there's tropical palm trees and waterfalls and places to sit and contemplate, you know, and hang out. And so there's all these different venues in which people can go and just really take their time. So like if one wants to get a real sense of like, so tell me what the earth was like before we were even here. You know, you're looking at it. People protect what they love. And what I'm trying to do is create a love affair here.
That's Richard Berger, whose ultimate dream is building a public home for his collection of rare rocks, minerals, and fossils. He's 72 years old and says if his goal isn't realized by the time he dies, close friends promise to see things through.